Brilliance Audio presents Maggie's Man by Lisa Gardner, performed by Kate Rudd.
Don't move.
Maggie Farringer looked up blankly from her seat on the wooden bench outside the second floor courtroom. 8:50 a.m. and she hadn't had coffee yet. She was tired, disgruntled at being called for jury duty, and still preoccupied with how she was going to rearrange all her appointments for the next 5 days. Plus, one of her cats was sick. She was thinking she'd better take him to the vet.
Don't move,
the prison guard repeated, and this time his voice was very hard. She blinked rapidly, looking at the man with mild confusion. Strangers were always approaching her. There could be 100 people on the street, and the tourist would stop and ask Maggie for directions. She supposed it was because she was so unassuming. At 5 feet, she had a slight build and pale skin that only burned, never tanned. Her clothes ran toward the admittedly conservative. She had a weakness for low-slung, sensible pumps. Today, she'd matched her favorite pair of beige heels with a brown plaid wool skirt and simple pink blouse that declared, "I am an intelligent, professional woman with really boring taste in clothes." Last week, her mother, one of those tall, wildly beautiful women who could actually wear leopard print jumpsuits, had flown into town, greeted Maggie with two foo-foo-y cheek kisses, and dramatically exclaimed, "My God, Maggie, darling! How did I ever give birth to a creature who will probably marry an accountant?" And Maggie, who felt the same sting she always felt when trying to understand her exotic mother, had the sudden urge to toss back her red hair and retort fiercely, "At least an accountant would come home every night for dinner." She hadn't said any such thing, of course. She was still slightly surprised she'd bothered to think it. After 27 years, she'd come to the realization that Stephanie would always be Stephanie. Getting angry at her self-centered, extremely un-mom-like behavior was as productive as hating the sun for shining.
"Lady," the guard was now growling, "I said move."
"Move where?" she asked him politely. As far as she could tell, the second floor of the old courthouse was still deserted. Space should not be a problem for him. Then Maggie noticed the gun. The big gun. The big black gun pointed right at her, here in the middle of the vast gray marble hallway of the Multnomah County Courthouse. The hallway was quiet, hushed as a courthouse should be hushed, particularly one that had opened its door just 5 minutes before. But just one floor beneath them, she could hear the reassuring hum of people entering and the parrot-like chirp of the metal detectors working as they helped protect the courthouse doors. She stared at the gun still held unwaveringly in front of her, blinked, then stared at it again. The prison guard abruptly jabbed her in the ribs with the barrel. Oh, God, it was real. She was being attacked by a prison guard. Maggie stopped breathing. Hello, her mind whispered. Somebody come up here and do something. Somebody jump out and tell me I'm on candid camera. The only person who moved was the prison guard.
Do exactly what I say,
the light-haired man said, his gaze boring into hers. He shifted, positioning his solid body between her and the top of the stairs, where the first smartly dressed morning commuter was now appearing. That man was followed by a woman in a paisley print dress, then another man in a suit.